السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome to the Ulama Profile with myself, Ubaidullah Boja. And with me today is a co-host in today's program is Marana Ashraf Dokrat. Marana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marana, for the benefit of our listeners, who will we be profiling this evening, inshallah?
Marana, today we are profiling Mufti Azizul Haq Dokrat.
The respected listeners, Mufti Azizul Haq Dokrat is from Lodian, Pretoria. So I then sat with some of the family members, and Marana also sat with some of the family members. We've gathered some information. We have quite a few messages, which we would like to go through. And we will do that within the hour, inshallah, myself and Marana Ashraf as well. And then we would take also your messages. It's an open line, so you can give us a call. The number is 011-854-1548. But rather, we're going to ask you if you could send a message. The number is 071-878-9748. And inshallah ta'ala, we would then go and we would read your message out on air for the benefit of the listeners. Just a little bit of introduction I would like to start, that Moana was born on the 14th of July in 1956. And Morana was born in the area called Lady Selborne. Morana then obviously grew up in the initial years. They then moved to Marabastad, where Morana stayed for some time. And after that, then Morana moved to Lodium. While in Lodium, Morana obviously started his schooling, and thereafter he done the normal, what at that time what we would call primary and secondary school. And once Morana completed matric, then obviously Morana went from there in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Jamaat. Morana Ashraf Saab, is there something from that that you would like to add upon until that time?
Well, the initial years, perhaps then we need to mention that Morana's family was in Lady Selborne, and we have some sort of recollection from Mufti Bulla of the time, you know, Mufti Abdul Khalik Bulla. He mentioned that in Lady Selborne, they had to be transported, you know, at the time to madrasa, and Maulana's father would actually collect the children there and take them then to the madrasa in Pretoria North initially, because that is where they actually started madrasa initially in Pretoria North. So he mentions that, you know, he has fond memories, Mufti Abdul Khalik Bulla, of that, you know, they were family friends from Lady Selborne. The two families were very close at the time, the Bulla family, the Dokrat family. In fact, everybody who lived there were actually in one big family, you know. So he remembers them, you know, Mufti Saab's brother, Ibrahim Bhai. And they would tell them, Mufti Saab's brother, Farooq Papa, and others, they would travel in a van of Mufti Saab's, Mufti Azizul Haq's father, Abdul Samad Bhai, to school in madrasa in Pretoria North initially.
Obviously, thereafter, once many of the people left Lady Selborne, and we know some of the people, due to the conditions and the government at that time, most of the people either made their way to Pretoria town or obviously then to Lodium, where then Mufti Saab completed his school in Monana.
Yes, that's right, Monana. He was in school. And
after that, Monana left in approximately 1973. Monana then left to study in India in Saharanpur. So from amongst his companions, I will mention a few, and then Monana Ashraf Saab will also tell us that Mufti Abdul Khalik Bulla, who obviously done the madrasa with him, was then accompanying him to study as well in India. One of his very close mates was Maulana Shabir Veli Rahmatullahi Alayh, who we profiled in the initial programs we had done on Maulana Shabir Rahmatullahi Alayh. And these were one or two of the main of his colleagues. So what we're going to do now, we're going to ask Maulana Ashraf if he could give us some of the colleagues and obviously some of the asatida whereby Maulana then studied with in India when he left. Maulana?
Yes, Maulana. You know, they started off apparently in Matliwala, in Baruch, the famous madrasa in Matliwala in Baruch. And among the people along the way, we must remember that there was this whole network of ulama who met up at some time or the other, somewhere along the line. And there was people such as Maulana Luqman Wadi, his name comes to mind. There was Maulana Rafiq Belum. At a later stage in Saharanpur, he was accompanied by Maulana Ismail Ibrahim, Maulana Ismail Ibrahim Ishaq, who I was in contact with. And then another person who was in studying at that time in Saharanpur was Maulana Ahmed Morta from Pietermaritzburg. And also Maulana Iqbal Rawat had some contact with him at some stage. There was also, this is apart from his very close associate that you mentioned, Maulana Shabir Valley. And there were a number of other people who he had association with at the time, Maulana. So, you know, they started off in Matliwala, and while he was in Matliwala, his father-in-law tells us that at that time, his two other brother-in-laws, Maulana Farhad Dokrat, and at some stage also then Iqbal Dokrat, you know, who passed away just a few days ago almost, his brother-in-law was also with him at the time. Maulana, in Matliwala, there were a number of asatiza. Also this we have to thank Mufti Abdul Khaliq Bulla for giving us some of the names of his asatiza who were there with him and who he could benefit from during his stay in Matliwala. There was a Maulana Yaqub Valan, there was a Karisa from Karmad, there was also Maulana Yaqub Karmadi, and there were others such as who he enjoyed a very close relationship with, such as Maulana Ibrahim Patani. In fact, in one of Mufti Saab's books, kitabs, that you know, I found some correspondence and notes between him and Maulana Ibrahim Patani, you know, and you could see the close relationship between the two. So they spent time there in Matliwala in the 70s, certainly, Maulana.
After Matliwala, our records tell us that Maulana then left from Matliwala and he came to Mazahirul Ulum, which is in Saharanpur. Now, respected listeners, at that time, there were obviously few Darul Ulums that were very well known. One was the Alma Mater Darul Ulum Deoband, one was Jalalabad, and obviously one was then Saharanpur. Maulana then studied in Saharanpur under great asatiza, and he had a great relationship with them. Maulana, perhaps you want to take us through some of the asatiza, and obviously the relationship while studying and after studying simultaneously?
Yes, he at the time in Saharanpur, there were people like Mufti Yahya, Maulana Aqil, who he studied Abu Dawud Sharif and the third and the fourth part of Hidayah was. In his Ifta, he had his closer association then with Mufti Yahya Saab. There was Maulana Abdul Qayyum Raipuri. He completed the first and the second part of Hidayah with him. Mufti Abdul Aziz Raipuri also, who he studied part of the Siha Sita was, I think, Nasai Sharif. And then also Mufti Muzaffar Saab, who at that stage served as the principal of the institute and who taught Tirmizi at the time. His close association, we know, was with Sheikh Johanpuri, Yunus Johanpuri, Rahmatullah Ali, who he studied both Bukhari and Mishkat with. And Maulana Aziz al-Haq Saab actually recorded the dars of Sheikh Yunus Johanpuri, you know, while he was in those classes. And he would always, Maulana, throughout his life, share his anecdotes and his interactions with his asatiza, the lessons that he learned from them about life, and apart from the lessons that he learned from them from his kitabs, you know. And in his dars, it seems that he was an attentive student because if you look at his kitabs, there's notes throughout the kitabs. There are also some of his copies, you know, the notebooks that he prepared very diligently with some of his books have got indexes of important notes, and especially in his Ifta year, I know he had made extensive indices of some of the important abwab in the various books, the various chapters. And at that time, he stayed also very closely to where Maulana Zakaria Rahmatullah Ali actually had his majalis. Maulana stayed in a small closet. Mufti Aziz stayed in a small closet type of room in the Daftar Masjid. And the good thing about that is that Hazrat Sheikh Maulana Zakaria Rahmatullah Ali used to have his durus there. So in that sense, you know, he had a close relationship the Sheikh, he was right in that very masjid, where in the Daftar Masjid of Saranpur Madrasa, where Mufti Saab the senior Khalifa of Maulana Muhammad Zakaria Rahmatullahi, Mufti Mahmud Al-Hassan would frequent. Maulana Zakaria himself would be there, and other luminaries of the time. And I think we are very grateful to Maulana Ahmad Mota of Maritzburg for giving us some of this information and drawing our attention to this point. Maulana, you said about his relationship with his asatiza as well.
Maulana, you may go ahead.
Two things stand out. You know, his relationship with Sheikh Yunus, and whoever you speak to about Mufti Saab, they mention this close relationship that he enjoyed with Sheikh Yunus Jaunpuri, rahmatullahi alayhi. When Sheikh Yunus, rahmatullahi alayhi, had to go for his first Hajj, then Mufti Azizul Haq Saab played a very important role in trying to facilitate and make the arrangements for that Hajj. In fact, he flew from Delhi to Bombay just to make sure that all the arrangements were in place, to see that all the needs of his ustad were catered for, and that he had a comfortable Hajj trip. This is quite a remarkable thing. Also, we witnessed how that relationship continued. When Mufti Saab passed away, Sheikh Yunus, whenever he visited here, when he did visit here, he would make sure that, you know, he kept up that relationship with his student, and the student showed and reciprocated that love for his ustad. And then when Mufti Saab had passed away, Sheikh Yunus came and went for taziyat, you know, to the farm where Mufti Saab had lived, and also went to Mufti Saab's brother's house. I remember accompanying Sheikh Yunus there, Mufti Saab's brother's house, brother Rafiq's house, Rafiq by Dokrat's house, and Sheikh Yunus visited there as well to pass his condolences on to the family. So we see that was a strong bond that they enjoyed there. He was a close associate of Sheikh Yunus. Also then, what we must mention is his close relationship with Mufti Mahmud Al-Hassan Gangohi, rahmatullahi alayhi. Mufti Saab, Mufti Azizul Haq Saab, and his good wife, Apa Safiya, enjoyed a very close relationship with them. This was a teacher-student relationship, and it was one of a sense of genuine and close friendship. They enjoyed a special love for one another. And we know, all of us who have ever experienced Mufti Mahmud Al-Hassan know the type of loving and merciful human being that he was. So we saw that throughout. They in fact spent time, they lived in the same home under the same roof for a period of time. We will get to that in one of the messages there's mention of that. We'll get to that at that time. And then,
I want to bring up one more thing. You know, one of the Morana's sister, Uncle Saliba's wife, was telling me that when one of the ulama went for 1 year, and then they went to meet Hazrat Sheikh Yunus rahmatullah alayhi, so he was inquiring who you are. They said, from South Africa, where you come from. Then he said, Lodium. So he said, you know that one person, now Sheikh Yunus had a very informal way, Aziz. He said, yes, we know him very well. So he used to say that Aziz and Shabir, meaning Mufti Aziz and Maulana Shabir, both of them had a very close relationship, to the extent if one of them was ill, the other would carry them to class and look after them, and vice versa, so that both of them had somebody to see to them, and simultaneously they wouldn't miss class as well. So it teaches us two important lessons. One is the importance they had with class, and also the friendship that they shared with one another as well, Maulana.
That's very true, Maulana. I mean, you know, and that friendship continued even after Mufti Azizul Haq had passed away. You know, while he was very, very ill, Mufti Mahmud Al-Hassan came in his old age under difficult circumstances, on a difficult road to get to the farm. He went to the farm and made his taziyat. And when I asked him who he's come to visit, he said, I've come to visit my dost, my friend, you know. So the testimony of the love of a student and how that was reciprocated by the teacher also, in a sense, I mean, it shows Mufti Mahmud Al-Hassan's great stature as well, you know.
Definitely so. Respected listeners, there's another incident that I would like to share. Maulana Ashraf Saab had sent it to me, and this comes from his friend Maulana Zahur Mazhari. He says, Mufti Aziz Dokrat was a noble and a righteous man. He had the best personality and a pleasing character. something we see from our pious predecessors. One of the amazing incidents, he says, that whilst Mufti Saab was a student at the madrasa in the hostel, somebody came and pinched some money, stole some money from him. Maulana caught the individual. Now here comes the crunch part. Maulana never persecuted him, never bashed him, never. He took him to the madrasa, he admitted him, he paid for his fees and gave him pocket money and seed to him. This was the character of Mufti Aziz. I'm going to tweet this what Maulana has said so you can pick it up from one of the social medias. But this is the personality who we're discussing, the individual was. I just want to take you through another message quickly and then we'll ask Maulana Ashraf to carry on. This comes from Brother Yusuf Dokrat, Maulana Ashraf's brother. He says, I was privileged to be a student of the late Mufti Aziz Dokrat, an ustad, mentor, role model and a dear friend. His compassion for everyone, irrespective of religion, color or creed, made him a living example for us in this Rainbow Nation. His humility touched every person who had the privilege of knowing him. His untimely death was a great loss to the people of South Africa. Ustads of his ilk are so only needed by the youth today. May his soul rest in peace. Ameen, Ya Rabbul Alameen. So, respected listeners, if you do want to send us a message, the number is 071-878-9748. You can send me a message, inshallah, and I will read it on air. Jee, Maulana Ashraf Saab, would you like to carry on with some information you have?
Gee, that is, I mean, there's a lot more which we can say about, you know, his asatiza and all of that. But, you know, we need to get to things that really interest the listeners, perhaps, Maulana.
Sure. Another message that I have, and I thought probably I can share it, and now some of the messages coming in are from the family. So they say this is coming from Brother Rafiq. Assalamu alaikum to you and all your listeners. One of the outstanding qualities I recall of my brother Aziz was the fact that Allah had blessed him with a remarkable ability to relate to people with compassion, understanding and kindness. Whenever he engaged with a person, it is as if he placed himself in that person's shoes. He had this know-how and he understood where the next person was coming from and showed respect to those who he dealt with. As a teacher, he tried making learning fun. In those days, he took the kids for excursion, engaged them in activities, and at the same time, he earned the respect of his students. He ensured there was discipline, and he never favored any child. Alhamdulillah, when I think of him, the words that come to mind are compassion, kind, respectable, generous, principled, fair, and honest. Probably, Maulana, the messages coming in now got to do with Maulana, obviously, when he returned back to South Africa. So, Maulana spent a considerable time in India, and when he returned, then obviously, Maulana was then not based in Lodium. Maulana had a farm out of Lodium, but he would be then teaching within the Lodium Madrasa with Maulana Abbasa, Maulana Garda. One important thing Uncle Ibrahim, Mufti Saab's elder brother, told me, that he said one of the conditions he took employment on was that they will not pay him a salary. He would then teach for free, khiratat as we know it, and then whatever he earned via the farm or via working with his brothers, etc., that would recompensate for the expenses that Maulana had. So from the very initial stages, Maulana was enthusiastic to do the service of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Maulana, what information do you have with regards to Maulana on his return after graduating?
Well, Maulana, you know, his involvement with the madrasa and his involvement with the community, it was really something that, you know, was quite outstanding in that sense. But also, Maulana had a very unique way of teaching. You know, if we look at how he taught the students, and I think some of your students have mentioned this, he was really... The students felt a very special relationship with him. He was always surrounded with all these young people, although he had no children of his own. We know that from what we know of him. He had no children of his own, but he had a special relationship with all the young children around him. And when he came to teach, he knew exactly what was important and how to emphasize those aspects that were really very, very important for the time. He emphasized matters of aqidah very, very strongly. I know that from my interactions with him. The seerah was important to him, and also tariq and history was very, very important to him. And he made the students learn the tariq and the history very, very thoroughly. For example, during the incident of, you know, the history that surrounds Muharram, one aspect of it, and if you ask all the students, they had to learn that book very, very well. And when he would give them an exam, and the exam was over, if he wanted students to rewrite that exam, he would make them rewrite it. And he told me at one occasion, he said, "Maulana, I've got no problem for the student to write the exam again until he knows his work." He said, "You know, Maulana, the student would, he would spend the time there diligently sitting and you know, invigilating that exam. So the student will repeat the exam until he knows the work satisfactorily. So even if he had to repeat that exam a few times, it wasn't a problem for Mufti Saab, because he understood how important that knowledge was for the student and for the rest of his life. So, you know, these are the type of things that we hear from his students and other people, you know, who had contact with him. These were important things. And I think a lot of that was the legacy that he inherited from his asatiza. And in that sense, Mufti Saab was a grateful son of the legacy that he inherited from his asatiza, you know, in terms of the type of information that they gave him, but also the important values and the aqidah and the type of legacy that he came from, that he was able to continue. Alhamdulillah.
We have quite a few messages that have already come in. I would like to get through them. What happens at the ending, then we tend to have a difficulty with going through some of the messages. So I've received the message. I'm just trying to see where is that message now. Pumaran, do you have any messages that you would like to read out?
I've got the ones from, you know, his father-in-law and also the two children who were very close to him, both Ibrahim and Maryam. You tell us and we can take them at any time you say.
Well, you can go on with your message and I'll just read mine.
Gee, I've got a message here from Ibrahim and Maryam. Ibrahim and Maryam were children that were brought into the family. I think our listeners need to understand this. They were children brought into the family. They became then children of Mufti Saab and Safiya in many ways. They were the children of the helpers of Uncle John and their mother, Auntie Johanna. And today they enjoy a very, very special relationship because of their closeness with Mufti Saab. At the same time, and I think we need to emphasize this, Mufti Saab, Mufti Azizul Haq, always made sure that they maintained this great reverence and respect for their own parents throughout. Their parents have a very important part today in our lives because of that. I don't know if I'm making the point, Maulana.
Those people are part of
our family in the sense, because of how Mufti Saab made sure that happened. Ibrahim writes, and I can maybe read, he says that, "Memories that I cherish of my Aziz Papa are my most valuable possession. They are uniquely mine. And even if time passes, they are important to me as ever. That elation, that happiness, the security, that feeling of knowing your place in the world. A smile, a hug, a teasing glint in the eye. Who can forget the silly little poems to make us laugh? How can I forget the advice that has made me tough? Aziz Papa's selflessness and deeds that live on means for me that a part of me is owed to him. Some of his actions, unknown to me, have set me on a path that cannot fail me if I preserve with the lessons of integrity he has taught me, inshallah al-Aziz. His memory is revered by all who hold it down. I thank Allah Ta'ala always for his gift to me that was my Aziz Papa, Mufti Azizul Haq Dhokrat, to others, from his loving son, Ibrahim." And then there's another message from Maryam, Ibrahim's sister. She writes, she says, "There is so much I would like to say about my Aziz Papa. We know we're talking about an individual who was well respected and is still revered, a man whose memory lives in most of us. When he spoke of it, it is only ever good things that are spoken about him. His work and the many lives he touched, most especially mine and my brother's, are an important part of so many people's lives. There is no telling what might have been, but when I think of it, it was most surely a qadr of Allah Ta'ala that things played out the way they did. There are memories that can still bring a smile or even a bit of sadness to me. Today, alhamdulillah, Maryam writes, I teach at a maktab, and this is Isa alayhi sawab for him, and also a continuation of his profession. May Allah Ta'ala bless him with Jannatul Firdaus.
Ameen.
Those are the messages that we have from the two of them. I've got two other messages, Maulana, one from his father. I don't know if we should take that one now.
Well, I've got two messages. There's two things I want to share with the listeners. One is something very humorous. Appa Zaira and Appa Fatima of the school was telling me that one day the Mufti Saab came and he picked them up from the shop, you know. So they said, okay, where are we going? He said, no, we're going. So when they jumped in the car, he said, no, we're going for holiday. We're going to the Nelspruit place, somewhere in Nelspruit. So they said, but Aziz Papa, we don't have no clothing. We have nothing. We're not ready. He said, don't worry. When we get there, we'll sort it out. So as they leave, then one of the nieces then picks up measles. So they come and say, Papa, but you know my sister, she's got measles. So you know, don't tell her anything about it now. We'll see you when we come there. So they go on holiday, they play, they have fun, they do everything. On the way back, they come to one of the nieces and say, you know what, you're quite sick, you have measles at the moment. She says, at that time, she didn't know what to do, she half fainted, but it was his joyous nature and his jovial nature by which he used to deal with people in a way that was probably not formal for other people to do so. And then there's another upper that sends a message. Mufti Aziz Dokrat, affectionately called our Aziz Papa, was uniquely blessed with many wonderful ni'mat, alhamdulillah. Growing up, our Aziz Papa is fondly remembered as someone who had time for one and all. He had the rare quality of being able to converse on a level of any person he met. Every child of the family remembers him with kindness, compassion, and love. He was indeed a splendid example of the hadith of Rasulullah s.a.w., al-ulama warathatul anbiya. He was an alim and a mufti of note with a wealth of knowledge. He instilled measured discipline, balance with witty humor, and he had the ability to inculcate practically into his lessons the life lessons of day-to-day life. Holidays on the Dokrat's farm remain the fondest memories of exemplary role models Aziz Papa and Safiya Appa, a loving couple who generally spoiled every child in their care. This dynamic couple were the epitome of whom we looked upon for matters of this world and in the year after. That comes from Appa Anisa Hafiji. Maulana, is there anything else you would like to share now with the listeners?
Maulana, we're talking about these anecdotes. You see, Maulana, when the country had its first democratic election,
right.
And you know, there was this hype and everybody was excited. So a few days before, Mufti Aziz al-Haq gathered all his farm hands, you know, the whole spectrum of them. You can imagine how they all are. And then he loaded them onto his baki. And
okay.
He took them to his brother's shop, Ibrahim Bhai Samad Dokrat's shop, the Mary's Fashion. And he brought them all new clothes.
Wow.
And then on the day of the elections, it was quite a sight to see this assortment of people dressed in their best clothes, all excited as ever, now going to cast their first vote. This was not because of any political reasons or anything, but because he sensed that this was an important milestone in their lives. And they were happy, so he wanted to make this a memorable experience for them. And he was happy with them for their sakes. You know, I think that's important, Maulana, in this whole thing.
Yeah, I think, Maulana, these are things that even up to today, although Maulana passed away and we'll get to it in 1995, but yet the principles that he shared at that time are so applicable today, like taking one of the family or one of the people within the family structure and adopting them. Imagine if we had to apply that in today's time, although albeit 22 years later, yet it would be so practical for us, and that is what the lessons that we have to learn from people who had that vision, Maulana.
That's true, Maulana. No, I agree with you 100%, Maulana. Maulana, there's a message from his father. No, should I take that one now? Should I read that
yes,
one now?
Yes, we can do that now, Maulana.
Maulana, he says that this is now Ahmed, you know, his father, no, Ahmed Dokrat.
Okay.
And Ahmed Bhai is now 86 years old. So this is, I really cannot express the emotion that went into this message, Maulana, as I read this message, you know. That doesn't come through, but let's try reading the message, Maulana. He says that many people miss him, but to me, Mufti Aziz al-Haq was not only a son-in-law, but he was also my cousin. He was my kakabai. He grew up in front of me as my younger brother. And Maulana, by the way, you know, just to say that, you know, my father-in-law had lost his father at a young age and was brought up in the house of Mufti Saab and his brothers, you know, many of whom, whose names we mentioned during the course of this program, his brothers and his sisters. So he writes then, he was well loved by his workers. There are many things I can say about him, but there is one incident that shows what a selfless person he was. While he was studying at Saharanpur, we decided to go and visit him. Before we got there, the flight was delayed, and we stayed at the Markaz in Delhi, and we were surprised that they knew him there as well. When we got to Saharanpur by train, and we asked for the house where he had lived, because our arrangements obviously were disrupted slightly, we were surprised that, to our surprise, the town people knew him and could easily direct us to his house. This showed the good relationship that he had and he enjoyed with the town people in Saharanpur. He took me at the time to meet all his ustaz and other pious people, including Mufti Mahmud al-Hassan Gangoi and Sheikh Yunus Rahmatullahi. At the time, Mufti Mahmud Saab, his house was being renovated, and he stayed with Mufti Azizul Haq Dokrat and my daughter Safiya in their house. Mufti Azizul Haq Dokrat and Safiya Appa stayed then in this closely, you know, very closely to Mufti Saab. But with our arrival, we stayed now on the upper level. This left Mufti Azizul Haq Dokrat to sleep in the kitchen in the small closet. Really, literally, he says that it was a closet, as he described it to me, so that he could be near his ustad for any service or khidmat that he could render to his ustad. And this really, for my, showed his selflessness. And when Mufti Saab, then he says, when Mufti Saab came for taziyat and condolences at the house of my daughter, and it stayed there for a while, visiting her son then. Mahmoud was named after Mufti Mahmoud al-Hassan Saab. This is my grandson now, who is also an alim today, and I'm very happy about this relationship that we enjoyed, you know, with Mufti Aziz al-Haq Dokrat, also those people he was associated with during his life.
Being on the line with us, before we carry on, somebody that knew Maulana very, very well and worked with Maulana Abu Bakr Manjra, one of the senior ulama of our town. Maulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Maulana, you knew Mufti Saab very, very well. What would you like to share with the listeners this evening?
Alhamdulillah, Azat, I had a good relationship with Mufti Saab. Whatever I wanted to share has been covered by my learned colleague, Maulana Ashraf, and all the people that have been sending messages. But Hazrat, when Maulana returned somewhere mid-80s, he joined the madrasa, the Pretoria North Muslim Educational Institute. And we both taught under Maulana Jina's principalship. Thereafter, Maulana Jina left, although he still remained with Pretoria North Jamaat. Then Mufti Saab became the principal, and I had the honor of serving under him. But the qualities mentioned previously, like humility, humbleness, affectionate, kind, generous, helpful, compassion, respect, you know, respect for everyone, big and small. He was a selfless person. So much so that when he used to pass go from his house here in Irasme on the farm, to the madrasa, and that he had to pass my place, and it was a steep climb. The people that used to walk up the road, local people, indigenous people, used to give him a lift to the baki.
Allah.
And when he passed away, they said Jesus passed away. He was our Jesus.
Yeah.
Every time he passed here, when I passed, they tell him, "Where's Jesus?" I said, "He passed away."
Allah. You know,
they also missed him. And this, for me, was a very telling statement of his nature, and which Maulana mentioned now, that for the election he went and he took all the workers to the shop and dressed them up. So that was his nature. He was so kind, so affectionate, so loving. Even to this day, his students and us, when we get together, we meet. That discussion is there, that when Mufti Saab used to be around, we used to gather over Eid. Mufti Saab had a farm somewhere in Mabopani area before he relocated here. And he was the first person to organize Qurbani on the farm. Yes, Qurbani used to happen in another place also. but organized with meals provided for everybody. People can come and picnic for the whole day, slaughter their animals, slice it, etc. It used to happen in Mabopani, some 30, 35 k's here, from here. And people used to go there. And then he came closer to Lodium and Erasmia, and here he started the other farm. And I was among those people that helped him establish that farm. And that relationship that we established with him, them years, remains even today with his family, my family. We are just as close as we were during the days of Mufti Sahab. And every now and then, his name does come up in discussions among our colleagues and among even his ex-students when we meet. They say we miss him when he was around. All the boys used to be kept together and everyone joined and enjoyed themselves. You know, he had that such attraction, that affection in him, that no one was terrified of him. No one would distance themselves from him. You know, they would love to be in his company. He made it so, like one of your callers said, that he would lower himself to the level of that person, or raise himself to the level of that person. So if it was a child that he was talking to, he would talk like a child. If he was an adult that he was talking to, he would talk like an adult. So that's a little bit of my contribution. Everything else, as Maulana Ashraf Sahab has already mentioned it, so I do not want to...
Jazakallah khair, Maulana. One of the messages coming in from Brother Zubair Suji, he said Mufti Sahab was more than an ustad. He was an uncle, an advisor, and a best friend. And he was just like a father to us. You know, when you're growing up, you have that awkward questions and that, you know, coming of age questions. He said everyone could turn to Mufti Sahab. Throughout my life, whenever I was faced with difficulty and decisions, I would often think of him and the life lessons that he imparted to us. I am certain all his students would echo the same sentiments. He was kind-hearted, extremely gracious, and he was extremely generous and caring. Mufti Sahab and Apa Safiya were the parents of hundreds of children. This is compiled by Ahmed Hafiji on behalf of Zubair Suji and other students. Tears in my eyes remembering my childhood in the company of Mufti Azizul Haq and Apa Safiya. My friend Shamila Adam and I were blessed to spend many holidays in their blessed company, both at their home at Serpia Street as well as at the farm. We heard many stories of their time in India. They joked that it was so hot there, the chickens also used to faint. That comes from Brother Zunaid Wadiwala. So many, many messages are coming in, and many people are speaking with regards to Maulana. Maulana, is there something that you have that you can share with us?
Maulana, there's also the message, I don't know if you've got that message from our Maulana Junaid Hassam, sir. You know, he sent it in Maulana Riyas Hassam, sir. Maulana Junaid Hassam, so you want to read that one, Maulana?
See, in my interaction with Mufti Aziz, I can vouch that he was an easygoing person of quite a remarkable nature. He was kind and generous. There is much I would like to say, but two things come to mind immediately. Mufti Sahab kept very good relationship with his asatira. His generosity extended to the locals too. May Allah Ta'ala join Mufti Sahab with the noble souls of the pious. Ameen, Ya Rabbal Alameen. There's something that Uncle Ibrahim, Mufti Sahab's elder brother, had shared with me. He says that on a monthly basis, he would send some funds down for his brother for the expenses and, you know, because they were studying there, etc. And at that time it was required, it was quite a good amount, alhamdulillah. So Mufti Sahab and whoever colleagues was there, they would share in that money that he would receive from South Africa, and there would be a balance as well. So after some time, when he was now closing to graduation, he writes to his brother and he says, look, Uncle Ibrahim, you've been sending me money, we've used it, we've done everything else, but now there's so much of money extra, what must I do? So Uncle Ibrahim said, well, whatever you want to do, you want to go for Hajj, whatever you want to do with the money, you can do. So he said that, you know, there's a part of the madrasa that either burnt or collapsed because of some situation, I would like to give the money there. So Uncle Ibrahim said, look, as you wish. So he had taken the money and he had given it to the madrasa to be able to rebuild that particular structure that obviously was damaged because of fire or something, because of the situation of the time. And not only did the money he received be sufficient for him, not only was the money sufficient for his family, for the friends that were with him, but it was also from given to the madrasa so that the madrasa could build some of the structure that was damaged in the circumstances at that time. So you can well imagine, from the time Mufti Saab was studying right up till afterwards, his generosity transcended through so many different ways that people still remember him right up till now. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the understanding.
Okay. So, Mawlana, we have a message to
have
further
that share
abroad.
With the
we have a message from further abroad that is from Asna, from a family member there, Yusuf Ali Dokrat from Asna, India. You know, Asna is this village next to Dabel. He's actually the mayor of this village. And he says that, I remember well and clear as day, I'm translating from the Gujarati now, I hope, the day that Mufti Azizul Haq and Mufti Bulla entered into our Gam Asna for the first time in an ox wagon from Maroli while he was studying in Saranpur. And while he was studying in Saranpur, I visited him often. And I would meet up with him in Saranpur for a few weeks at a time and spend some time with him. He had a wonderful relationship with the people of his Gam, in other words, the people of Asna, and he was concerned for the deen and the dunya. He showed a real love and muhabbat for the family there, and at one stage we went to Goa together on holiday after he had completed his Mufti course. He was a soft-hearted person who had touched the life of many people, and I'd like to share one example of this. There was a brother, Ismail, from Barbados, who was studying at that time in Saranpur, and this brother had accepted Islam. He was a Negro, a black brother, and Mufti Saab looked after him, cared for him, and even brought him on one occasion to come and visit in the Gam, and they had a few lessons, and they taught the kid karate, because this brother Ismail, who had converted to Islam at the time, was a karate expert. And I remember the karate and kung fu classes that he came in the Gam. This is now the story of Haji Yusuf Ali Dokrat from the Gam. And finally he says that, I can never forget him at any stage in my life.
Subhanallah. Obviously, one of the family members was telling me that Maulana, by his nature, was a very jolly person, but he would do things that, you know, people don't sometimes understand, and always he would be very spontaneous. On the spur of the moment, he would do things. So he would love to go to the auctions, and he would buy things from the auctions you might never even know you needed. But sometimes, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he chooses people, so at one stage, Maulana went to the auction, and Maulana bought an entire library. Now the nieces and the nephews are saying, but Rishpata, what are we going to do with this? And they're all sitting down to sort it out. No one knows what's happening. But amazingly, much of those books of that library became the book that was used at the library at the Charlie Muslim School. Until now, some of the books are still there. In fact, at our library that was here, our research center, when we were packing it, I've seen many of Maulana's kitabs that are still there at the research center. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless Maulana.
I think that, you know, that's one aspect, and all these people that he affected along the line. You know, I mean, you ask anybody of Mufti Azizul Haq Dokrat, the name of his hand, you know, he's the person who helped him, Shorty comes up. You know, so there's people like Shorty, there's other people who he came into contact with, and people, you know, associate those people directly to Mufti Saab. Maulana, while you mentioning this type of spontaneous nature of Mufti Saab, there was also a very serious part of his life, and a very, you know, he had this real concern for deen, and when he felt that deen was not being portrayed in the correct way, he would stand up for it. You know, I think of two occasions, and the ulama in Lodium will be able to tell you more, but there was an issue around the Hilal at some stage, you know, that caused a problem. And there was some sort of a conflict around that. Mufti Saab stood his ground very, very clearly and very, very, with a lot of steadfastness against difficult circumstances at the time, on that occasion. When the aqidah of that he held dear came under attack, Mufti Saab was prepared to stand up for that. In fact, there was a jalsa type of thing that was held at the Ming Street Jamaat Khana, and there was an open challenge at that time that they put, that was sent out to anybody who wanted to defile in any way the aqidah of the people of the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah as understood by the ulama of Dioban. So Mufti Saab was ready to stand for that as well, you know, so we need to put that into balance.
Yes, as well. See, I think that's also very important, Maulana, balance of personality, that when you need to be joyful and you need to be jovial about all things, and when it's time to stand your ground, you should always do that. And I think it's an important point you brought up, Jazakallah. Maulana Salman Ganshi sends me a message. Now, Maulana Salman Ganshi's father, Hazrat Maulana Sulaiman Rahmatullah Alayh, and Maulana also were very close in Pakistan. He says, now, when Maulana Salman's mother fell ill, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless her, at that time he says, when Ammi Rahmatullah Alayh fell ill in India, whilst my Abba Rahmatullah Alayh was studying, they had to go to Pakistan for treatment. Mufti Saab and his family took good care of Maulana Salman. He was like a loving person and a loving father. Uncle Ibrahim was telling me that the expenses of Maulana Sulaiman Ganshi to go from India to Pakistan for the treatment was borne by Hazrat Maulana Mufti Aziz Saab Rahmatullahi Alayhi as well. Maulana, we have about 3 minutes in closing. I just want to take up.
We have the message from Maulana Riaz Hashim, I think is important.
I think, Maulana, we have that message as well. We're not going to have time to go through it today. Probably at the next, we'll do the program again. The crux of Maulana's message was that when Maulana Sayyid Khan Saab Rahmatullahi Alayhi came, then a Jamaat was taken there, and that Jamaat was then brought to Maulana. They wanted to cut a sheep so that one of the elders of the Jamaat wanted to do a distribution and feed the Jamaat people from his side as an ikram from there. And obviously then Maulana facilitated that. And there was many people that would go to Maulana visiting him in Jamaat, etc. when they came. So this was the message from Maulana Riyasab Damat Barakatum, one of the senior ulama. Maulana, you want to take us to the last part of Maulana's life as to how he passed away and when he passed away, and on that, Maulana, we could close?
Yes, Maulana, firstly, I think I won't be doing justice if I don't tell you that, you know, personally, Maulana, he affected me personally.
Sure, Maulana, let's do that.
At the time of his marriage to Safiya Apa, my wife was only 2 years old. So, earliest memories are of him always being around, you know. He was very much a bigger brother to her. And so we were very close as families, really. He gave the name to my son, Maulana Usama. At that time, the name hadn't shot into fame yet, but he gave that name. And in that sense, Maulana, on a personal level, you know, he was very, very close to us. And I shared another level of interaction with him on an ilmi type of, because we were both ulama. I was often using his kitabs, like I alluded to. He would read, Maulana. Even during the day, Maulana kept a book in his baki. He was conscious of what he read. He made notes about what he read. He thought about the subject matter. And we would often discuss then the extract that he read. He was a good scholar in that sense as well. Maulana, you said that we should end off by mentioning something about his passing, his sad passing. I'd like to use the word of Mufti Abdul Khaliq Bulla, you know, who remembers that time very, very well. Mufti Saab had three weeks before he passed away, been involved in this very tragic type of accident, and then was hospitalized for a period of 3 weeks approximately. And Mufti Abdul Khaliq told me this afternoon when I phoned him, he said that it was a very difficult time for all of them. They felt sad looking at a close friend in this condition in hospital. And they would, then the ulama in Lodium took turns to stay in the hospital with Mufti Saab. So there was always somebody from the ulama who were with him. When the tragic news of his accident came to the attention of Maulana Muhammad Yaqub Bulan Sharif, Maulana was at the hospital and couldn't bear seeing his friend like this, and he passed unconscious at that time.
Allah.
So Mufti Bulla tells us about this, and then 3 weeks later, while the ijtima was on in Durban, Mufti Saab passed away. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase his ranks, you know, and make all our du'as for him come to pass. But because this is what he has left. We know that people are your witnesses in this world, really. And he is witnessed by so many people for all the good that he did. And, you know, we certainly stand as a witness in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this great person who has touched our lives and who, in a sense, touched the lives of so many people. And so we are grateful, and we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the fact that he gave us such a person in our lives in that sense also.
I think that was, Maulana lived a very short life. Maulana passed away around the age of 38 years old. And he's left a mark on those people that interacted with him. And I wish probably that I also had met Maulana so that I could learn from Maulana as well. A final stuff from one of the nephews saying that our beloved uncle, the remarkable man that he was, is most definitely one of the greatest examples of how to live this thing we call life. He is one of the only being I have had the pleasure of knowing who lived with an absolute determination and meaning. He always had a smile and kind words, and his playful nature was unmatched. In all honesty, I cannot recall one instance that my uncle had to offer up an excuse for not being able to assist anybody. And that probably is the crux of today's program. Maulana, briefly, I just want to conclude by just recapping what we've discussed. We're saying that Maulana, 14th of July, 1956, he passed away 38 years later in 1995. They grew up in Lady Selborne, moved for a short while to Marabastan, thereafter Maulana then moved to Lodium. After Maulana graduated from Matric, he went for Jamaat, and immediately after that, he left with Mufti Bula, Muashiraz Veli, etc., where they had studied in India. Maulana initially started at the Matliwali Madrasa, and thereafter in Baruj, Maulana went to Saharanpur. Maulana completed his course, but before that, he came back to South Africa, he got married, and thereafter he went back with Upper Sophia to Saharanpur, whereby they had settled down for that period of time Maulana was studying. Maulana had a very close relationship with his ustad, Hazrat Mufti Mahmood, Sheikh Yunus, Maulana Ibrahim Patni, Rahmatullahi Alayhim, etc. When Maulana came back, Maulana had a house and a farm that he had purchased in Soshanguve, about 35-40 kilometers from here. Thereafter, Maulana bought a farm here close to Erasmia, where Maulana had stayed, and obviously Maulana had passed away. Maulana had taught in the madrasa here in the Lodium, and after the Maulana passed up then, took over the Jamiatul Ulama offices full-time, Maulana then became the principal, obviously working with the ulama. Maulana then passed away in 1995 after a tragic accident, and one of Maulana's salient qualities was two that I would like to mention. The one was, Maulana was very firm on the commands of Islam, making sure he stood his ground. And it went to helping people and making feel comfortable, Maulana moved the world to do so. Maulana, in summary, I think that is what we discussed in the last hour, Maulana.
Yes, Maulana, I think you've summarized it very, very well. Jazakumullah ahsan al-jazam, Maulana.
I mean, inshallah, respected listeners, also from myself and Maulana Ashraf Dokratab, we were discussing the life of Mufti Aziz Ul-Haq Dokrat, rahmatullahi alayh. Mufti Aziz Saab is very well known, his family, all of them are here, staying in Lodium, etc. Maulana's brother-in-law just passed away not very long ago. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fill Maulana's qabr with nur. Allah grant him the highest of stages in Jannah, and Allah make it easy for all. For myself, Ubaidullah Boja, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.